They were half, cause I called them out on the rest of the service. Amen. Might as well get it while we have it, right? We look at Amos chapter 8, I'm reminded of some things in this chapter, but I want to look down at verse number 11. Says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." And as we look at these two verses of Scripture tonight, I want to preach to you on what you will not hear in apostate churches. What you will not hear in apostate churches.
Amen.
Apostasy, if you look over 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 of the New Testament, he said there'd be a famine of the Word of God. And it is apostasy like you wouldn't believe. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 3, he's talking about the rapture of the church coming, the tribulation time, but he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." Then there's a comma, and it says, "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." I have never seen in my life people chasing after the Antichrist. There's a problem everybody seems to have with this. They keep looking for him and not looking for Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
That only tells whose team you're playing for.
Right.
And I noticed in that thing, he said, "A falling away first, comma." We live on the comma.
Yeah.
And the last days of the church age is where we're at, and that's where we're at with the falling away first. That's already happening.
Right.
You've got apostate churches, apostate Bibles, apostate... Everything has got to do with the Lord's true thing. There's a bunch of apostates around it.
Right.
And the way you define the word apostasy, the best definition I've ever heard is, it's like stepping in a hole that has no bottom. That once you go in that thing, you never come out, and you just constantly get worse. Today, you and I, listen, our great-grandfathers couldn't imagine going to church where they had more than one Bible there. That was unheard of. That they thought, if you told them that would happen, they would say, "Boy, they ain't but one."
Come on.
His great-grandfather couldn't imagine going to a church, listen, and hearing people sing songs that was sung in the bar the week before. You'd never convince them that would happen in the church house.
Right.
But yet we have it on all sides now. There was a National Geographic survey that reported many young Americans are geographically illiterate. Now listen to this. According to the survey, 63% of Americans aged 18 to 24 failed to correctly locate Iran or Iraq on a map of the Middle East.
Earth.
The results for the U.S. geography are even worse, because half could not find New York State on a map, and a third could not find Louisiana, and 48% could not locate the great state of Mississippi.
Earth.
Now, understanding geography is helpful in daily life.
Sure, man.
But we've got Godography, and people can't find God.
Yeah.
And it's now in eternity that bears that thing out. But there's a famous slogan on church signs. What's missing in CH, blank, blank, CH? You are. Come on and join us, Sunday. I seen one the other day that kind of sums up how these apostate churches are. Blah, blah, blah. Come on in anyway.
Wow.
Good.
Now listen, there are some sermons you're never going to hear preached in apostate churches. I'm going to attempt to preach on all of them very briefly tonight. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. These are sermons you will never hear in apostate churches. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look down at verse 14. Your Bible says there, be ye unequally yoked together with, who are those people right there?
Unbelievers.
Well, now, how you going to win the lost if you... Listen, that's another part of the Bible. Go ye into all the world and teach all nations. Well, we can't have doctrine in churches because unbelievers won't like it. Well, that's how Jesus said, reach them.
Come on.
You've got to teach them about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is a different part of the Bible. It's kind of like when you get pulled over and say, why ain't y'all chasing drug dealers? They caught you doing 75 and 45.
No.
They got a division for that, and they got a division for drugs. Guess which one you just caught by? You got caught by. They got a division for that. Don't worry about the drug dealer. They'll catch him.
All right.
But he said there, be ye not equally together with unbelievers for what? Fellowship. There we go. Now we're talking about fellowship.
Righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion hath light with darkness. You know what sermon you won't hear preached in apostate churches? A sermon on separation. They don't preach separation in those churches. You know why? They've never been separated to start with. You see, you and I live in a unique world. In our world today, if you preach on anything, then you're mean. Guilty. And guess what? It's not mean. Truth hurts when you're not used to hearing truth. And there's a lot of people over the years have come back and said this. When I first came to that church, I thought you was mean, but I found out you was right, and it was me that was wrong, and I didn't like it. And I have to correct them. It wasn't me that was right. It was the Bible that's right. It hurts me too. And listen, when I get right on things, they're the easiest thing in the world. But to do that thing, it's like climbing Mount Everest. I don't think it'll ever happen, but then it does by the help of Jesus Christ. But he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Separation, man. Hey, listen, if you don't separate from the world, they will pull you down. You will not pull them up. I had somebody tell me one time they was going to marry this guy that was a drunk. And they said, I think I can reach him for Jesus Christ. Well, honey, marry him and you win him. That woman sits home a drunk tonight. Why? She didn't win him. He drug her down. See, there's another sermon never hear preached in these churches. Look over at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. You never hear messages on separation, and you never hear messages on this. In Luke chapter 13, if you look down at verse number 3, Jesus speaks this out plainly, plain as day. He said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Verse 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible has to say something one time for it to be true. But when the emphasis is twice like that, you better pay good attention. He said, except you repent. Change your heart, change your mind, change your purpose. It leads to a change of life because God granted you repentance. And you'll never hear a message on repentance in these churches, because if there was, they'd have to admit these people are in sin. I like to go do funerals at liberal churches so I can preach on drinking while I'm there. You're talking about a captivated crowd. They're bumping each other and all this other. Can you believe he just said that? And I always tell them, I'm fixing to say it again, so get your tape recorder out so you can go back and whine to your preacher about it. Hey, listen. A funeral is a time when you preach the gospel and you point stuff like that out. Because if you say, if you don't repent of your sins and you know what they are, they'll never know if you don't tell them. God put a preacher there to tell people stuff, and if he won't tell them, who will? The devil? He ain't going to tell them. These devil-called preachers, they'll never say nothing about it. They get up there and sing through a message before they'll say anything about sin, before they say anything about repentance. Repentance is not even in their vocabulary. Now notice this. He said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Christ said that. I've heard people say, well, there's no repentance now. This is a different dispensation. Look over at Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. We covered this the other night. Luke 24. After he's rose from the dead, he meets with his men and he tells them in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, he says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There's the Great Commission. I don't know how much more plainer it could be, but churches are supposed to be under the same commission are not preaching repentance because they're not preaching separation. They're not saying a word about sins. If you look over at Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 8 in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 8, we find a message over here that won't be repeated in apostate churches. They'll never say nothing about this one. Isaiah chapter 8, down at verse 20 over there. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. You see the words over here says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they speak not according to what word? He said this word. A message you'll never hear in these apostate churches is not only separation and repentance, but on the authority of Scripture. I've heard people say, well, in our church, they'll be honest and say the bylaws are the final authority. Well, according to your bylaws, the Bible's the final authority. One document points to the other one. And in this one, it supersedes wherever the bylaws try to go against God. The church bylaws that I've had people turn into to our Bible Institute for 16 years all read basically the same. The Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And some people, they like to go in deep on that thing and go in and define every doctrine out of the thing, and you should let everybody know what you believe. I think it's kind of odd you go, if these cults around here, if they trick you into joining up to their cult, what they do is they'll start telling you that the stuff I told you was lies and I don't know what I'm talking about. But somewhere down the road, you get in there and find out I was right. You know what they say? Well, we practice the doctrine of lying. It says here in the Book of Mormon, I can do that for those people like there, those heathen out there that's not Mormons. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, in secret have I taught you nothing. He was very public with everything he preached. And this Bible says to be just like that. And if God tells us to preach according to the authority of Scripture, we have no other authority to lean on. Listen, these folks come here and say, well, now, I'm going to tell you this, and Brother Such and Such says this. It don't matter what he says. It matters what the Bible says. Well, you make the Bible mean anything. No, not if you take it by what it says. God is not like you. He don't say one thing and mean another one to try to trick you or to, you know, play both sides of the fence. Whatever the Bible says, it means it. It's plain as day. It's us that try to monkey with what it says. God says what he means, it means what he says. And if you do not look at this Bible to find out exactly what it says on face value, there's no way to find out what it even means. Authority of Scripture. Well, we're going to do such and such. Well, does the Bible say we can do that? Yeah, well, you know, we would, but, you know, it's just hard on getting everybody to get on the same page with that. No, it's not. Tell them what the Bible says. Cancel the youth beach trip. Why? Well, can't we go to the mountains? I don't know. I read Mark chapter 5 where, you know, these people brag on, I don't go to the beach, I go to the mountains. A bunch of devils jumped in a bunch of pigs on the mountain. That's where they've been staying the whole time up there, inside of one guy. Crazy, ain't it? Here's why you canceled the youth beach trip. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You won't hear messages on the authority of Scripture preached because they don't want to have nobody over them. You ain't going to rule over me. I hear that a lot. You hear that a lot? You ain't going to tell me what to do. I know, honey. Ain't nobody tell you what to do. You just a renegade and a lone ranger and all that. By the way, you dumb as a brick. Don't even know it. I love how people, listen, there was a sign up there at Pop's Corner. I used to tell all the teenagers in church to go up there and find it and look at it and read it and heed it. You know what it said? While you are young and know everything, get out and get you an apartment uptown and a job. Don't that work for you? It works for me. They don't want to take you up on that because they get out there and say, wait a minute, you mean we got bills out here? Oh, I don't like bills. Bills ain't good. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to see verse 3 here. For this is the will of God. Now, everybody's looking for that right there that's saved until they read the next part. Even your sanctification, that's what's that? That's setting you apart for holy service. That ye should abstain from fornication. So if we throw that in there, we say, well, we do got to cancel that youth beach trip. I remember years ago at this boys, there's this girl's home, and they had this big old guy, a big old huge guy, and he was over that home, and they said, man, that guy, he's got it, boy, he's got it. He's the best thing since sliced bread. And then they opened a boys' home on this side of the hill. They said, ain't y'all worried about them boys slipping out through here and slipping up the girls' homes, them girls slipping down here and slipping up there? They said, oh, no, that man of God will stand there in the middle of them. He ran off with one of the girls. Do not put yourself in harm's way or you will get ran over. I believe that this road out here is not traveled like I-85. Y'all believe that? We can go faster on this road than I-85. It was 35 or like 45, something like that. So you can go faster out here than you can on any place in Cherokee County on 95. Don't look at me funny. The speed limit is 35 right now. But I believe personally that if I walk out to that road and stand for an hour, there won't be as much traffic there as there is out there. Do y'all believe that? You know what else I believe? If I stand in that road long enough, my back turns, somebody will take me out. Whether I believe they will or not. You don't tempt fate. You don't go into places like that and have your back turned or you'll get mowed down. Here a while back, I did something none of y'all have ever done probably, maybe one or two of you. Brother Ronnie Waters had me down in Georgia here about 2-3 years ago, and one of the cotton fields had just come in. I said, pull over here. He said, what you do? I said, I'm going to pick cotton till the guy comes out and runs me off. And I knew they wasn't house out there. I just wanted to pick one little piece off of it and look at it. While I was out there, I noticed something. There wasn't a lot of people out there helping me. You know why? They have this big machine that does that now. So you don't have to go out there in the field no more with a tow sack and pick cotton and get 100 pounds for a quarter. You ain't got to do that no more. But get this. There's a lot of places I used to go that I don't go no more because of the temptation in them places. Are you listening to me? For nostalgia, you can pull over and pick a thing of cotton. There probably won't be nobody around. But for them other things where that temptation is, I suggest you don't go there. And by the way, you won't hear this preached in them churches. You know why? Because they don't want to hurt none of them little kids' feelings and tell them they can't do that. Because, I mean, that's just not popular today. Because it's not popular and hadn't been for 30 years, now you got a CNN anchor over there trying to rape a man in a bar, and everybody's saying, well, that's normal. That is not normal. That is not normal. And neither is fornication. Listen, don't get yourself wrapped up in a situation where you can't get out. I tell people it's real simple. If I had a dog that was dating age, they can date right there in the living room while I'm sitting in between them if I have to. You know why? It ain't gonna hurt them. Ain't supposed to be doing nothing like that anyway. So that's old fashioned, and it works. You wait till you married 10, 20, 30 years. If you dated like that, you look back on that and say, thank God. And then when your kids come up dating, you say, we did it like this, and you are too. And you know what they'll do? Say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, whatever. They'll do right as you say it. You know how people have went out and they say, well, you got to give kids a little freedom. Are we raising children or are we raising dogs? Because they'll pin their dogs up in a fence, or the dog can't do that, and they'll let your children run out with something with that smells like it needs to be sprayed, dipped, and wormed. Amen. Now watch this. You want to hear a sermon on fornication? Look over to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to dip into the red hots right quickly. The Bible tells us that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Is that correct? That's Galatians chapter 3. But over in Exodus chapter 20, we're dealing with the first part of the law. And in the first part of the law, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I liked it when all y'all shouted when I was blowing these kids out for fornication and sex for marriage. Now, let's get the other side of it. Adultery and fornication are two different things. The way you know that is they are spelled differently. Never mind the Hebrew and the Greek, right there in English, they're spelled differently. You know that's two different things. And adultery is talking about sex after you married. It is not right to do that. It has never been right to do that. But it don't get preached in these apostate churches. You know why? Because they say, come as you are, and by the way, you'll leave like you came. It's always been known in this church, you're welcome here, anybody, to hear the gospel. But I'm afraid I can't make you a deacon while you're committing adultery. I'm afraid you can't teach Sunday school while you're committing adultery. I'm afraid you can't be the song leader while you're committing adultery. You just can't do that. The thing of it is, listen, that's what God said. You say, well, that's legalistic. No, that's fact.
Right.
How would you feel if Jesus Christ, who's your bridegroom, done that to you? How would you feel if your spouse did that to you? See, there's all kind of people have all kind of takes on all kind of things, but that right there is just so plainly, you don't need a take. You need to take a retake of it, look at it again. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Listen, and before we go too far with this, let's just make it plain. Jesus said you may not do that thing physically, but if you do it up here, you're just as bad. If you do it with these two things, it's just as bad. See, here's how you stay out of trouble. Give your wife or your husband access to your phone so they can look behind you every once in a while, and you'll probably not do some of the things you're doing right now. I don't want to hear any of the excuses of whatever. I just know this. If that would help you, I think it would help you greatly to keep that thing in mind. And listen, it would build the faith of your marriage and your life and your kids to know they could look at what you do while you look at what they've done. I made a promise to all my children when they were born, if you see me do it, you can do it too. See, they wasn't raised like I was. My daddy smoked. He said, if I see you smoke, you're going to eat the whole pack. I always thought that was very unfair. But I get the point. By the way, I never let him see me smoke. Just if y'all ask him, if y'all want to ask him, he never caught me. I stayed away from him while I was trying to do stuff like that. And because we didn't have, what was that thing that we didn't have timeout? We didn't do timeout. And I knew I'd have to eat all that, and I wasn't about to eat that stuff. It's nasty smoke. I could only imagine what it tastes like to eat. Are you listening to me tonight? Don't be caught up in something like that that'll ruin your marriage. You won't hear this in the apostate churches. You can go over there tonight and say, well, I would go over there to that church, you know, but I think I will because they're too hard on us down there. They're too hard on you. It's Bible. But you never hear it. Another message you never hear in these apostate churches, look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We get over here into a message where our Lord says something, and he's very plain about it again. But you won't hear it in apostate churches. They're trying to figure out how they can get more in there and not say nothing about it and have 15-minute sermonettes by Christians that smoke cigarettes while they sit there with their pants pulled, their shirt pulled out, their pants, sitting there in a pair of shorts, and let the women lust after their legs. And yes, you know who you are. Mark chapter 9, verse 44. How many times has the Bible got to say it to make it plain? Make it true? All right, verse 44. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 46. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 2. Then verse 48. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You won't hear messages on hell in apostate churches. The reason being, hell is for people who reject Jesus Christ. They dare not mention this because, boy, that'll offend the whole world if you start preaching on that. Over in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, that thing starts out how there was a rich man and a beggar, and how that beggar was, he didn't get the finer things of life, but the rich man did, and then they both died. And in hell, that rich man, the one who fared sumptuously every day, the one who said that, you know, I'm part of the in crowd or whatever he was, the one who dared not shop at Walmart or Goodwill for his clothes. You know what he said? What it said about him? And in hell he lifted his eyes being in torments. He said, this fire. Jesus said, fire. When these apostates come up and say there ain't no fire in hell, that hell is just separation from God, they lie. They lie. Listen, the Bible talks about there's fire in hell. When we finally go to that great white throne judgment, all the people who rejected Christ are there, and he sentences them to go to a place. The death, hell, and the grave is delivered up. And then they go to the lake of fire. If you die without Christ, that's your eternal destiny, is fire. And I've heard people say, well, all my friends will be there. You'll never know them. Where their worm dieth not. You see, when you get in hell, your identity's gone. The very thing that you have pride in yourself, that's taken away from you where their worm dieth not. Why are they in hell? They're not in hell for drinking. They're not in hell for smoking pot. They're in hell because they rejected Jesus Christ. All them things are a symptom of not knowing Jesus. Ain't it something? Listen, if I went to the doctor tonight and I said, I got a headache, and he gave me a Tylenol. And let's say Tylenol had a side effect of something else. It makes your ribs hurt, just for instance. And I said, well, I went back to him and said, now my ribs hurt. And he didn't read the medical journal to know that. And he just was in there just doing whatever he thought was right with no authority, no standard. Before long, I'd be on 17 pills treating 17, what are the things called again, symptoms? And we'd never get to the problem. I think in today's age, we try to send these people out and say, well, you on drugs, you need to go to the rehab. There was a guy, Steve Phillips, picked up on the road one day, and he said he had a folder with him, one of these manila-type folders. He said, what you got there? He thought it was odd that a homeless-looking guy had a folder like that. He said, these are all the homeless and rehab places I stay in. You're not helping people by doing it for them. They're going on tour. And you're paying the tab. The craziest thing is, these people have all these symptoms, but nobody ever deals with the problem. The problem is they've rejected Jesus, now they got all these symptoms. What kind of doctor would I be if you come in coughing and I said, ah, here's some cough syrup, and didn't find out why you were coughing? Wouldn't that be bad? I hope if I work as an undertaker, I don't come in there and say, well, they look like they're asleep. Let's just put a pillow under their head and stick them out there and see if everybody else agrees with it. There you are out there dying, laying, stinking, and everything else. And I just said, you're just taking a nap. It's crazy, but it happens every day. We can't treat the symptoms. We've got to treat the problem. The problem is rejecting Jesus. When you reject Jesus, there's no telling what you might wind up in. And speaking of that, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Your Bible is so plain that even sitting in apostate churches, every one of these messages is in their Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know what you want to hear preached in the apostate church? You want to hear a message about the gospel. Not in any message. You may hear some watered down excuse for something about saying some kind of prayer or saying some kind of thing or a catechism or something like that. You may hear something like that, but you won't hear nothing about that bloody cross and how Jesus died for sins and was committed right there in that building. You won't hear nothing about that because, see, to admit that would have to admit the Bible's right. Then they all have to change. New preacher. Get those words. That's what happens after you get saved. Do you notice it says there, it just keeps building on it. It says, old things are passed away, all things become new. All things are of God, it says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Get this. He came looking for you. You was not looking for him. Now watch this. He said he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You ought to be here on Thursday nights in Bible college and hear how Brother Chip's been saying, when did God not call you to do missions? When did God tell you you're not supposed to do that? You know what the answer is? He never has. Each one reach one or several hundred, but we're all called to go out. You say, I've never felt like that. Do you see that? What I just read? That ministry of reconciliation, this isn't written to a missionary, this is written to a church. Oh, we can't have that. Then we have to say that the rest of the people around us are lost. You don't hear a message about the gospel about this, because if we start preaching this, we'll have church members getting saved left and right. Look at verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ. Oh, if we admit that, we got to tell them Muslims they're wrong. I went to a funeral one Christmas, and they had a Christmas tree up and had Muslim ornaments and Jew ornaments and all this other stuff, and there's a little cross hid around there on the side in a Christian church. But no worry, the guy up there preaching never brought up anything that would resemble any of them things. See, if you say God wasn't in Christ, then you fall in with the rest of the crowd. He's just another religion. But if you sit here and look, say God was in Christ reconciling the world himself, you got to say this: he's God and there is none else beside him. There is no Savior but him. That's the gospel message. The gospel message is not pick a religion in a church. The gospel message is he's reconciling you to Christ, whom he picks you through him. And there is no other way outside of him. They put Joel Osteen on Larry King Live, and he says, is there any other way to listen? Jew Larry King looked at Gentile preacher. Is there any other way but Jesus to go to heaven? And that lying, listen, that lying false prophet said, who am I to say that? By the way, don't feel so uptight. Billy Graham said about the same thing about 5 years before that. And don't sit here and tell me at church, well, you know, you're picking on an old man before he died. He said, no, he said that in 1952. That's kind of when he wasn't an old man. That's when he's parking Catholic priests up on the platform in Los Angeles, California, and John R. Rice and that whole sort of little crowd kicked him off the board and said, we can't have fellowship with darkness like that. They don't preach the gospel. Ain't that something? You won't hear a message on the gospel in these apostate churches. Why? They don't believe it. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe any of this? Because see, that gospel message says you were wrong and you were born wrong. And listen, without Jesus, you're going to die wrong. And without Jesus, you're going to live wrong. If any man be in Christ, are you in Christ tonight? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.